There's actually two passages we're reading this morning. The first one's Psalm 78. So if you can find that in your Bible near the middle-ish part, Psalm 78, and we'll be reading the first eight verses of that psalm before we then turn to Matthew 13. I'll give you a moment to find that. Psalm 78, verse 1 is where we'll be starting from. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. They would not be like their ancestors, stubborn and rebellious generation, whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. I'm going to turn over to Matthew chapter 13, and we're reading verses 31 to 35. So finding Matthew 13 from verse 31. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world.
Cool. One of the things about me is that I love camping. It's one of my favourite things to do, you know, to get away from it all. I can go sit in the bush or on the beach, you know, breathe in the fresh air. But actually, when it comes to choosing a good campsite, there's a few factors that go into that decision. You know, how flat is it? You know, are there any amenities nearby? Does it have good phone reception? Hopefully not. But probably one of the biggest factors when choosing a good campsite is what trees are in and around it. See, trees, they provide a nice bit of shade during the day, you know, something to sit under and read a book. Quite often they provide a good bit of shelter as well, you know, particularly from the wind, but it does give you a little bit of respite from any rain. And of course, they just look pretty. You know, trees, they play a much bigger role in the camping experience than you sometimes realise. Actually, a tree is one of the images that we see in the parables that we're looking at this morning. But it's so much more than just a picture of what a good campsite looks like. It's instead used as a picture of what God's kingdom looks like. Now we see it there in Matthew 13, verse 31. It starts, the kingdom of heaven is like. And now this is a phrase that you'll see Jesus use quite often when he's giving us these parables. Now, six of the parables that we find in Matthew chapter 13 all start with this same phrase, the kingdom of heaven is like. And it's easy to forget that Jesus is the one who is giving us these pictures so that we can know God and how to live with him. So with that in mind, there's actually three things that I want to look at this morning that we find in the passage we've just read. That God's kingdom of heaven is growing, that the kingdom of heaven offers shade and shelter, and finally, our response to this news, to go and tell others of God's kingdom. So the first thing we see in these parables is that the kingdom of heaven is growing. And Jesus uses two examples here for growth. The growth of a mustard tree and bread making. Two things that start small yet continually grow. And now, I know I started earlier with a picture of trees, and we will come back to that. But first, let's take a closer look at the second parable there in verse 33. It says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked through all the dough." Now, one of the things I used to love as a kid was when Mum made homemade bread. You know, it was fantastic. It tasted delicious. We got to eat it hot, fresh, out of the oven. The thing that was constantly amazing about the homemade bread making was the dough rising. See, Mum would be there and she'd knead this ball of dough that was absolutely tiny. There was no way whatsoever it would feed our hungry family of seven. But after a while, this ball of dough, it would get covered in a tea towel, put to the side. Us kids were given strict instructions, do not touch this. And we would sit for a few hours. Sure enough, when you came back to look, this small ball of dough, it had grown from this tiny ball to a big enough amount to bake bread to feed an entire hungry family. And that growth is what we see here in this parable. See, in verse 33, Jesus said that this woman mixes just a small amount of yeast into 60 pounds of flour. I did a quick bit of Googling, and apparently that's enough for 60 loaves of bread, which is a huge day's baking for anybody. And yet all this bread, it's made possible from the rising of the dough. It's all stemming from this small amount of yeast that grows it. See, there's growth there. Growth that affects everything it touches. Growth that permeates throughout the whole thing. That's the picture that we're given here of the kingdom of heaven. And it's the same picture that we're given in the parable of the mustard tree. Look with me again at verse 31 to 32. It says this. It says, "He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of seeds, when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches." So in this picture of a growing tree, Jesus is showing the extent of the growth that is present in the kingdom of heaven. Now, a mustard seed, it's notoriously small, but it grows, and it grows and it grows and it grows some more, and then you have a mustard tree. And a mustard tree is big. They're one of the trees with the big, wide, leafy branches. You know, there's that tree that's just sitting on the top of the hill in every movie ever made. It's visible from every direction. It's creating a landmark. See, this seed, it's grown. And this picture of a plant, of a tree, it's a picture of something that continues to grow. Now, one of the cool things about trees, they're always growing. Bit by bit, they get bigger and bigger as time goes on. The picture of kingdom growth that's given here, it's a picture of growth that continues, growth that's recurring. And it's actually growth that's just so different to what we're used to seeing. See, when we think of growth, it's easy to go straight to numbers, you know, straight to thinking in business terms. You know, we think of the big investment opportunities of the last decade, you know, maybe cryptocurrency. Now, just last year even, everyone was commenting on how Bitcoin was taking the world by storm, just rising to new levels all the time. We wanted to see just how far it would go, but we're also waiting on the inevitable crash. And sure enough, it happened. The value of Bitcoin, it's dropped back down. It's worth about 40% of what it once was. You know, it's hard to think of what constant growth looks like when thanks to social media and TikTok, we see new trends that just appear out of nowhere, boom, into your face. You know, who remembers planking or flossing or even the ice bucket challenge? You know, right now it's all about doing your daily Be Real. You know, these crazes, they come onto the scene, they're everywhere, it's all you hear about. But then you fast forward a week or two and you never hear about it again. But see, the picture of kingdom growth that we have here, it's so different to that. It's a picture of constant, sustainable, ever-present growth. It's a picture that reflects the God who rules the kingdom. See, this kingdom growth is constant and ever-present because God is constant, because God is ever-present. And now you might be wondering then what this kingdom looks like here on earth. You know, it's not a physical kingdom, but a heavenly one. But it's still a kingdom full of real people. See, this heavenly kingdom, it belongs to all people who have put their trust in Jesus and are living in relationship with him. Those of us here this morning who know Jesus, we are part of this wonderful kingdom of heaven. You might be wondering then that if this kingdom is made up of people who trust in Christ, why can't you see this growth happening? After all, you don't really seem to see a lot of Christians around today. You know, you look at our church here at Christ Central, and yes, it's grown, but you know, we're a couple of hundred people in a city of over 2 million. And maybe you also think to include other churches in the area as well, but it still seems to fall short. See, it's so easy to limit what we see as the kingdom of God to our local context. But this heavenly kingdom is for everyone, worldwide. Now, as many of you here would know, our church partners with the Birchleys in PNG. Why? Because Christians in that location are part of the kingdom. Now, I know many families here sponsor children in Indonesia through Compassion. And as they write, they share the news of the gospel. Why? Because the kingdom of God is alive and growing over there. Did you know that there's an estimated 2.5 billion people who identify as Christians worldwide? 2.5 billion people who have heard the good news of Jesus and put their trust in Jesus as their Savior. People who have confidence and hope in the kingdom of heaven, looking forward to eternal life with God. 2.5 billion people who have come to know Jesus as their personal King and Savior. See, the joy, the communion, the fellowship found in Jesus, it's the living, growing kingdom of heaven here and now on earth. And we can even see that today in our local context as a church here at Christ Central. This morning, here today, we have people from around the world gathering to worship God together. Now, in our church, we have Kiwis, we have those from India, some from Canada, America, Switzerland, England, Macedonia, Holland, Malaysia, Singapore, South Africa, and many more. See, the kingdom of heaven, it's growing, it's spreading throughout the whole world. And see, all of this then begs the question, doesn't it? Why is God's kingdom growing? Now, what's so special about it that means people worldwide are coming out in droves to be a part of this kingdom? Well, this brings me to my second point that I want to bring out from these parables, that the kingdom of heaven offers shade, shelter, and rest to those who are part of it. Come back with me to this passage again. Let's look at verse 32. Verse 32 says, "Though it is the smallest of seeds, when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches." You know, I mentioned earlier that I like camping, and I know it's not for everyone, so picture this instead. You know, it's a lovely summer's afternoon. You're out for a walk through the park. Work's done for the day. You don't have to worry about it anymore. You know, the sun's out and a cool breeze is blowing. You come across this beautiful old tree with the branches stretched far out. So you stop and you take a seat in the shade. You see all the birds, and maybe if you're better than me, you know what the difference is between the lorikeet and the parrot, or the galah and the cockatoos. Now you've got the kookaburra laughing away in the background there. And in the moment, there's nothing on your mind, just a calm relaxation. Well, that's the picture that's given here in this parable. See this mustard tree as it's grown. It provides shelter and shade. It's indiscriminate. It's a welcome to everyone. See, a shady tree in a public place, it's something that's just there. You know, no matter who you are, it sounds so good. And it is. And as you think of this picture of rest, of shade and shelter, remember that this is a picture of Jesus, of who he is, of what his kingdom is like. See, the kingdom of heaven, it's open to everyone. It welcomes everyone. It provides shelter for everyone. Now, just a couple of chapters back in the book of Matthew, we see Jesus say these words. In Matthew 11, 28 to 29, Jesus says, Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. See, this rest, it's found only in Jesus and his kingdom. It's for those who are weary and burdened. To rest in Jesus is to learn from him, to share your burdens with him. He's a king who is gentle and humble. To be a part of his kingdom is to know what Jesus has done for you. Jesus has taken the burden of sin and death away from you through his own death and resurrection on the cross. It means that as we struggle through life with its ups and downs, we can be confident in one thing, that rest for our soul is promised and will be found with Jesus. There's no need to prove yourself, no need to try and earn this rest. It's not dependent on whether you've done enough good in your life. It's a free gift, freely offered to anyone who accepts it. And if you're someone here today who doesn't know Jesus, then this rest, this shade and shelter found in the kingdom of heaven, it's on offer for you. See, Jesus' offer, it's not a bunch of rules that maybe work or maybe don't. Christianity is not some short-term trend that's dying off. No, it centers on one man, the Son of God, Jesus. And throughout the whole of the New Testament, we can see that the news of his death and resurrection on the cross, it spreads. We see kingdom growth as people put their trust in Jesus as the one who takes the penalty for sin. Today, we see God's kingdom spread worldwide, and it's still growing. See, the Bible lays out an invitation for you to put your trust in Jesus, to have your sin washed clean by his death and resurrection. The free offer is there for you to become a part of his kingdom, a living and a growing kingdom. A kingdom that extends not just through your time here on earth, but through to an eternity in heaven with him. Find your hope, find your comfort, find your shade and shelter in Christ. Now, the final point that I wanted to look at today is our response to this picture of God's kingdom, to go and tell others. See, take a look at verse 34 and 35. And you'll see that after Matthew records this parable for us, he gives us the reason for these parables. And in doing so, he quotes Psalm 78, verse 2. And I think that as we see this parable that Jesus gives us, as we see in it the good news of the growing kingdom, we can also see that the appropriate response is there for us in Psalm 78. So if you've got your Bibles with you, please turn back with me to Psalm 78 and let's see the response that is in there for us. In Psalm 78, and we'll just reread the first seven verses. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children. So the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. See, do you see what's happening in this psalm? It tells of people who, knowing God and knowing who he is, share the good news of the kingdom. And not out of a sense of duty or obligation, but out of joy to share what they know. See, in verse 4, we will tell the praiseworthy deeds, the power and the wonders he has shown. Now, it's a recurring thing too. You see in verse 6, who will tell their children, who will in turn tell their children, even those not yet born. And it all leads to kingdom growth. You see in verse 7 that then they will put their trust in God. See, I'm fortunate enough to come from a Christian family. And so ever since I was a kid, my parents, who knew the love, comfort and hope that they had found in Christ, they could not help but tell me and my siblings about who God is and the joy of belonging to Him. Now, they didn't do this to make us good kids or out of some sense of obligation, no. My parents, they have such hope, joy and comfort in Jesus that they just simply couldn't help but tell us who He is. See, it's sort of like the joy that a kid has at Christmas, you know. There's this toy that they really want. They point it out to you each time you go to Kmart. Maybe they'll even find you the link online. It's the one thing that they really, really want. And then Christmas morning comes and they unwrap their presents and there it is, the toy to end all toys. You go for a walk to the park and that toy, it is firmly held in their hands and they will try to show it to everyone in sight, be it friend, be it family, or be it some random stranger who happens to be walking past. So they are so excited and full of joy about this gift that they've been given. They physically cannot stop themselves from telling people. And if you're someone here today who knows Jesus, then we have a better gift than that Christmas toy will ever be. If we have the gift of knowing the love, the joy, the hope, the comfort found in Jesus, do we have that childlike desire to shout it to the world? Now, we constantly see in these parables that Jesus is sharing the good news of kingdom growth. We should be too. Now, what opportunities do you have to share this good news? Now, in our own church right here, we have kids and youth leaders, we have RI teachers, we have growth group leaders. Is there an opportunity you can take in one of these roles to share the news of God's kingdom? What about talking to your friends or your co-workers, the parents group you attend, people at your uni campus, people in your class at school? What opportunity do you have to tell them of the praiseworthy deeds, of the wonders that God has done? You know, we've got Hope Explored running this afternoon. We have room for more people there. Why don't you send a friend a text and see what they're doing this afternoon? When they inevitably say, not much, invite them along to hear about the hope found in Jesus. You know, come with them even. See, there's so many ways, so many things that we can do to share Jesus with others. We can use our time, encouragement, finances. We can support others who have opportunities to work in ministry or on the mission field. You know, as a church, we want to be mission-minded. We want to see people enabled to share the gospel where we cannot. So that's why we partner with Compassion, you know, giving us the opportunity to share Jesus with children worldwide. Now, me personally, I have the privilege of preaching this morning because of the generosity of so many people here who support me prayerfully and financially in my ministry traineeship. You know, as a church, we want to get together regularly on our mission prayer nights to pray that the message of Jesus and who He is would spread throughout the world. Go and tell the praiseworthy deeds, the power and the wonder of God. And it's so easy, though, to think, what's the point? Nobody listens anyway. But we have the joy this morning coming up of actually witnessing the baptism of Declan just after this. Actually, as part of the lead up to this, Declan wrote down some of his testimony and he gave me permission to share some of that with you all. Now, so in his testimony, Declan said this. He said, once in high school, I turned away completely and even at points was vehemently opposed to Christ. But through the grace of my mates, Noah, Dan and Andrew, and the parts of RE that stuck with me, I became a Christian and found Jesus. Later on, he continues, but in all honesty, I can't talk about my growth in Christ if I don't talk about my leaders through this whole time, Andy and Josh Oakroot. See, Declan had people declare to him the wonders of God. From an early age in RE, he had a teacher who gave up their time each week to tell him of Jesus. His friends, they told him who Jesus was and what he had done for them. His growth group leaders, they helped him grow. They helped him find more and more of the wonders of Jesus that we see in the Bible. And from that, Declan now has the joy of finding rest in Christ. And a big part of what he's doing this morning, being publicly baptized, it's a public declaration from Declan of the wonders that God has done for him. Just as others have shared this good news with him, he's now sharing this good news with others. And I know it's hard. You know, as you try to tell others who Jesus is, it can affect your life. It might put pressure on your relationships. It might affect your job or your standing in the community. But do any of these really compare to what God has done for you? There is joy in knowing God. There is shade, shelter, rest found in Jesus in the kingdom of heaven. To see who Jesus is, to know him as your Savior, it brings hope, it brings comfort, it brings a peace and a rest that can't be found in anything else. The good gift of knowing Jesus, of belonging to his heavenly kingdom, is there for anyone who will accept it. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for sending your Son, Jesus, to send this gift of belonging to your kingdom freely available for us all. Lord, I just do pray that you'd be with us as we see your kingdom growing, that we would seek to tell others of you and of who you are. I just do pray all these things in your name. Amen.